All right, awesome. Woo! Awesome to be in the house of God with my brothers. Brethren covers women, you know. Brethren. Hey, as you probably noticed, there's some more changes in the sanctuary. What's one of those changes? No scaffolding, that's right.
More seats.
More seats. That's the one I was looking for. New clock, very good. And they intentionally made it with a bigger hand so that there's no excuse now on my part. It's a bigger clock, bigger numbers, bigger hands, which I love. It's great. Thank you. Nice. You, by the way, that's Miss Jess who made them. Woo! She made them. That's awesome. I love it. I worked out the maximum capacity of seats and still having first-class seating, as in knee room, leg room. I only took away 4 inches in between the rows. It's still first-class. It enabled us to get 8 rows on this side, 7 on this row. I shrank the aisles by about 6 inches, which bought us an extra chair per row. And we now have, and then we have these side balcony seats. Nosebleed. So we have a total of 188 seats total. That counts the 3 in the sound booth, 1 at the video booth, which y'all probably didn't know what that was back there, so in our new video booth, 10 in the back balcony. Now, here's what I was thinking. I thought those would probably be the worst seats for the very last people that left over. They sit up there, right? I sat up there. If I wasn't preaching, that's where I'd want to be. Those are awesome. We have one wise person who's already figured it out. It is like the loge seats, you know, at the theater. I'm serious. You sit up there. I was like, man, I like this. It was really cool being up there. So just so you know, I kind of would rather you be down here, but I probably shouldn't have even mentioned that. In fact, those are terrible. Bad view. There are actually 3 seats that are terrible up there, and that's because the columns block the view pretty bad. Other than that, the rest of them are top-notch. So no need to feel bad about people that are sitting up. They actually have got it made. I'm going to finish last week's message. I think I'm going to, let me just say it this way. I'm going to continue on it today, and I think say the last part of it, but the Lord may have more as we go. Interestingly, I did not think about this, did not plan this, but I realized last week, as I was doing the message, how perfectly fitting it was for something else I want to talk to you about. And it's just like, you know, just God. So perfect. And, which has been very consistent, Joshua's word today could not have been more fitting. So just really cool. I love seeing these kind of things. You know, it's just like the stamp of God. When I thought I had God's leading 2 weeks ago for last week's message, I wrote it down on a pad in my kitchen, just, you know, so I don't forget that thought. Here's what I think the Lord's saying, and I wrote it down. the next morning, I got an email from a member of our church, and just saying something, they just said, I just got something from the Lord, and it's so awesome. I just feel like this would be great for our body. It was practically verbatim. So I took a photo of my notepad and sent them the picture. And I said, is that God or what? It was a beautiful confirmation. And they're like, wow. So, you know, those kinds of things. It's just really cool how the Lord just does things and lets you know, yeah, you're on the right path. You got me right. You know, you heard me correctly. So, and then now realizing how much it'll segue into a second message, basically, I'm going to be bringing today. So I'm going to wrap up last week's message, and then I'm going to slide into another one. All right, so, which will be dovetail into it. So last week, what we talked about was, what is our purpose in life? Why are we here? And I told you there are 3 points. These are biblical points as to what God says is our purpose. Can anyone tell me what the 3 are? Number 1, or all 3 of them? No, that's the overarching will of God. What is that one? Reconciliation, transformation, and duplication is the overarching will of God for every one of our lives. I don't know if you realize how important That is how valuable that understanding is for your life. You don't want to just say, oh, that's cool, we got that little three things memorized, and then you'll just go on with your life. You're missing the whole point. We're not doing any of this so you can memorize 3 points or, what are the 5 steps to prosperity or whatever. They're to help you gain the truth and then implement it into your life, and when you do, it'll transform your life. When we understand God's overarching will for me, for my life, is reconciliation. Now, it's hard to get the whole thing in one word, any one word I would choose. So what is reconciliation? One, the main thing is that I would come into relationship with him. I'd be reconciled. How are you reconciled? Why is reconciliation needed? Because there's a break in a relationship. What caused that break in that relationship? Sin. The fall of man caused a break in the relationship with God. Jesus came, people say, to take away sin. I did a teaching over a year ago, I don't know if you all remember, and I said a very provoking statement. I said, Jesus did not come to take away sin. What? I mean, it sounds sacrilegious. And I'm really not just trying to do it for shock factor. I'm really trying to get us to shift in our brain and realize that's really not what he came for. Jesus did not come to take away sin. We've heard it so many times, we're like, of course he came to take away sin. No, that's not why he came. He says why he came. He says, I came that you might be reconciled to the Father. That's why he came. Sin was just an issue he had to deal with in order to accomplish the goal. The goal was reconciliation with the Father. I don't know if you remember it, but I had 2 people up here that I said, you have to pretend, because I was going to build something, I didn't do it. Pretend there's a wall here, and that wall represents sin. The Father's on this side, I'm on this side. Jesus came, and he pushed sin out of the way, and then he's like, okay, now, you two kiss and make up. It's all good. Come together. But what happens to most of us, because we hear and we have it in our mind, Jesus came to take away sin. Well, then we hear, okay, he took away my sin. We're like, cool, I'm great, I'm good now. And we walk away, we miss the whole point. No, come back. Now the sin's gone, you can have relationship with the Father. This is what it's about. That's why it's important. You don't think, oh, that's just semantics. Yeah, of course he came to take away sin. Okay, I hear what you're saying. He didn't come to take away sin. He came to have a relationship with the Father. It's all the same. It is not the same. In fact, I was just talking to Kenton. It's all perspective. And the right perspective is everything. The perspective that we are to have about what Jesus came for was that I would be reconciled to the Father. Don't be focused on the sin. The sin got dealt with. That's awesome. That's wonderful. But why? So that I can be reconciled with my Father. That I would have relationship. And when we have that perspective, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, everything is about my relationship with the Father. And then you start focusing on that. And you say, Lord, I can have relationship with you now. This is awesome. I'm going to start working on this. I want to spend time with you. I'm free to have relationship with you now. I mean, the whole focus is on him, not the sin. Are you with me? That's what I mean by reconciliation. It's the initial, Jesus made the way so I can be reconciled to the Father, but it doesn't stop with one event. It's the life. It's the rest of your life being reconciled in the sense of getting closer and closer and closer. All right? Then transformation. Which being reconciled to the Father is part of the transformation process. Understanding the kingdom principles is a whole, that's the whole thing about being transformed, is renewing our mind to think like God thinks, to think heavenly thoughts, to be spiritually minded and not carnally minded. Carnal mindedness brings death in your life. Spiritual mindedness brings life. But there's a lot of spiritual mindedness. You got to take them on. You got to grab new truths, and each one sets you free. The truth will make you free, but only the truth that you know. I mean, really know, and it becomes a part of you. Then it sets you free. And the last one is duplication, and they're not necessarily like one happens after the other, even though initially, yes, you have to get reconciled first, then you start to get transformed, then you start duplicating, but the reconciliation continues to go, the transformation continues to go, and the duplication continues to go. They're working together once you kind of got them all in a groove. You get them all working together. We're constantly supposed to be duplicating our lives by sharing what we've learned with others and let them be reconciled to the Father, etc. Okay, so that's the overarching will of God. Sorry I'm talking fast because I'm trying to get it all in here. So now we're talking about our purpose in life. And what is our purpose? Mr. Andy Davis.
Glorify God, full of joy, love people.
Glorify God, be filled with His joy, and love people. This is the biblical definition of our purpose in life. Now, these may sound silly. It may be, if it is, it's my heading that I gave to each one of them. But when you get into them, they are anything but silly. They are awesome. I guess the only one that might sound silly is we would be filled with joy, that we would be filled with His joy. Like, come on, that's not my purpose in life. It is really cool when you find out that's actually the purpose God has for us. That's His purpose for us. That we would glorify Him is one purpose. That we would be filled with His joy, that's a purpose God has given to us. And that we would love people, that's a purpose that we have. We are to be living with that purpose in mind. Now, all of these actually work together. They're not independent of each other. And maybe that'll be something I'll go into more in depth in a future week. But just let me give it to you really quick in a nutshell. I think this is going to be the way I'm going to preach this whole first sermon. I won't even go into my notes anymore because I really want to get into the second part. So let me just say this. This is that whole message in 3.7 minutes. Ready? We are to glorify God. I'm being timed. I just saw someone start their clock. We are to glorify God. I gave you the one verse. In fact, it would be good if you pull this one up, Louie. That's it. Isaiah 43:7. Thank you very much. Isaiah 43:7. Why did God make us? He made us principally, number one, absolute top priority. The reason He created you was for you. He created you because He wanted you. He loves you. He wants to be with you. But He also gave you and me a purpose. We are not without purpose. And He made us that we would glorify Him. Everyone who is called by My name, whom I have created for My glory. There's the secret. There's the mystery. There's the understanding. There's the truth right inside that phrase. Why did He create you? For His glory. How's that happen? I talked to you about if you're a parent and you have a child and your child is sick, depressed, emotionally distraught, filthy, dirty, mean to everyone around them, does that bring glory to the parent? No. If the child is clean and wearing clean clothes and happy and joyful and kind and considerate of everyone around them, does that bring glory to the parent? Absolutely. I mean, literally, you look at that child who's so incredibly well-behaved, so kind, so caring of other people, and you immediately, your thought goes, who's the parent of this child? You want to know. And when you meet that parent, you're just like, even if you don't say, you're just like, wow, whatever you're doing, man, that's awesome. Don't you? It brings total glory to the parent. That's what the Father's talking about. I created you, and your life is to bring glory to Me. How does it bring glory to you, to the Father? That's where the second one comes in. God's purpose in your life is that you would be, just like that little child, filled with His joy. Are you putting that one up by chance, John 17? Maybe I didn't ask you to, but I just thought I'd throw that in there now. Maybe John 15:11. John 15:11. Jesus, I should never give a time to how I'm going to summarize. Lesson learned. I meant 3.7 minutes on the first point. Did I say that? No. Okay. So that we would have God's joy. If we are filled with His joy, not some kind of artificial happiness, But literally the joy of the Lord, it becomes the number one greatest attraction to the world. The world looks at that and says, come on, man, what's your secret? Like Joshua was talking, that one guy said to him, like, dude, what drugs are you on? Seriously, can I get some of those? That's, it's so attractive. And the father's like, if you have my joy, it's really what everyone's searching for. We search for it in drugs, sex, relationships, careers, money, houses, cars. What we're really reaching for is that joy that in our DNA we know we were meant for. We long for it. Every part of our body cries out for it. And when you see it in somebody else, they're just full of joy. You just want to know, what's the secret? How do they have it? It just draws them. It draws you to them. This is why God's saying to you, listen, I want you to, you're my child. I want to fill you with my joy. And so he gives instructions about how to walk with the Father, Jesus is doing in John 15. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you desire, because your desires have just been purified by your relationship with me, by my word in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. And as a result of this, my Father will be glorified. Why? Because your life is enriched with everything. Your relationships are just phenomenal. Your marriage is phenomenal. Your kids are phenomenal. Your workplace is phenomenal. Everything about you is wonderful. Bad things come your way and it doesn't even faze you. People look at you and go, don't you even know that your wife just wrecked your car? Yeah, I don't care. It's okay. What matters is she's fine. I'm so happy. She's great. Wow, what a trip. They just see the joy. They're like, circumstances doesn't even affect them. Doesn't affect her. They count it all joy when they fall into various trials. Just pure joy. That is, how can I say it? I mean, how powerful that is to a world that sees that. And then the last piece is that we would be the most loving people. What is it if a person's full of joy and then they're rude to someone, which doesn't really happen if they're really truly full of joy. But, you know, that's why I'm saying all these things are synergistic. They're inseparable. So I was just going to try and separate it, and it just didn't make sense because, you know, it's like, imagine dry water. It's like, oh, wow, okay, that didn't work. Imagine a person full of joy who's mean to other people. It just doesn't even work. So anyhow, out of the joy, that's what I was trying to say, is the love of God just flows. Because when you're filled up, when I'm filled up with the joy of the Lord, you just love everybody around you. You're satisfied. You are solid in Him. When you know how much the Father loves you, I mean, really know it. There's a couple experiences I could give you, a couple times where I knew it beyond. I don't know that you could know it any more than I knew it. I knew it. Oh, it was so incredible. I don't want to go into it because I'll be there for a while. But one time, an out-of-body experience, literally while in a car driving on this road in Florida. God took me out of my car. I was gone. I was in His presence. Every single cell of my body was completely impregnated with His joy and His love for me. And I tasted, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I tasted of it. There was another time where I was just, my heart was ripped out by this girl that I was dating. I was just miserable for months. I could hardly eat. I was just miserable. And the Lord spoke to me. One day, He just spoke to my heart. And in a moment, because of what He said to me, when I thought about the situation, literally after I was in it for like 5 minutes, basking in the words of the Lord to me, His loving words to me, then the thought hit me about the girl, and I literally started laughing, not at her. I laughed at myself that it would even bothered me for a second. that a human being's comments or actions meant anything in comparison to his love for me. And I was like, how did I let that hurt me? That's crazy. God, I'm so blessed by your love. I wanted to just hug her and just tell her, I don't even care. I'm just, you're wonderful. Great. I love you. Go on. You know, it's all good. And then, you know, I'm just going to move on. It doesn't even matter. I didn't care. God loved me. I was filled with his joy. When we are filled with God's joy, we love everybody. When we're filled with God's love, we love. Our love, our ability, our empowerment to love other people comes out of the joy that we have in our relationship with the Lord. That's what empowers us. This is why our life, when a life is given over to him, to serving him, it's the answer. It all comes out of that. So how do you get all this? How do you get this? I want to glorify God. I want all that you're talking about. I want the joy of the Lord. I want to love everybody. How do I get that? The answer is found in all of the Gospels. One of the places is Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 34. I hope that's right. Please put that up, Louis. 34 and 35. Mark 8, 34 and 35. This is it. How do we get here? This is how we get here. How many are ready to hear the answer? Raise your hand if you want to hear the answer. How do you get there? All right. There's six of you still didn't get it. I'll preach longer and harder until I get all of your hands up. No. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 says this, "And when he had called the people to him with his disciples also, he said to them," this is God speaking, "whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will what? He'll save it. Or in other words, he'll find it. The first one is you lose it. The second one is you find it. And then the next verse, even though he doesn't have it up, so I didn't ask him to. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Jesus just gave us the answer. Here's how you do it. You forget your life. Stop living for yourself, which is what we all do. Jesus says, there's no life in it. That's existence. What I want to talk to you about, what I'm talking to you about right now, is the difference between existence and living. It's the difference between a career and a calling. It's the difference between success and significance. They're night and day difference. I've been working on this for a couple days, and the last night it hit me, and early this morning, how maybe I could put this in a slide to make it, I was like, how do I communicate this point? And then I had this idea to kind of crystallize in my thoughts. So at 9:30 this morning, I called our graphic designer. Here's what I'm thinking. How do I put that in a slide? Or maybe you could put it in a slide. And he's like, I got 30 minutes before I got to go to church. I said, I know, man, that's not even fair. Okay, I'll try it. Give me some ideas. How can I do this? And he gave me some ideas, and I worked on it to the point where I had no time to even eat breakfast, and when I was done, I didn't like it. And I put my computer, I shut it, and I went, I get no breakfast and no slides, and I came to church. So I have no slides for you, but I'll try and describe what I wanted to draw. I wanted the word failure. I wanted to show the word failure filled up with darkness and sadness, because that's what it produces, right? When you have failure in your marriage, when you have failure in your business, when you have failure in relationships all around you, it produces darkness, it produces sadness. Nothing's working for you. You have no, every relationship around you is crumbling. I mean, you know, talking about extremes, it comes in all varying degrees, but taking a little bit to an extreme, nothing's working. Your marriage has failed. Your kids are failing. They're on drugs or they're not. They won't obey you. Your job is miserable. You hate your job. On and on. You're miserable. It's dark. There's no joy in it. You know, so that's failure. Then there's, on the other end of that spectrum, there is what we think is the other end of that spectrum is success. Success, your job's rocking and rolling, you got money flowing, your marriage is good, kids are good, and there's success. What does success have in it? It's filled with happiness, there's light, there's joy, and it's good. And all that is really good. What Jesus is saying, there is something way beyond success in the world's definition of success, and that is significance, a life that is significant, a life that it leaves what we know as success in the dust. When you taste of it, when you go there, you realize, oh my gosh, that's living. And I asked you guys before to raise your hand if you've ever gone on a missions trip where you did nothing but give of yourself for another purpose for a short period of time. How did you feel? Exactly. Amazing. Like you're on air. And one person said, it was the happiest week of my life. The other response was, I was exhausted, but I had, what did you say, more peace or satisfied.
Yeah, nothing to ask of the world, just happy.
Yeah. You were exhausted, but completely satisfied. I remember you said something like, I was just full of peace and whatever. And, you know, the same thing that I've experienced at times when I've done that, there's no question. I look back on them. They were the greatest moments of my life. Now, think about that. I mean, that's real evidence. What's the word like in science when, I mean, it's empirical evidence, right? That's real empirical evidence of your in your own life. That time that you gave yourself completely to someone else. Here's a definition between success, the difference between what is success and what is significance. Success is when you add value to yourself. Significance is when you add value to others. And a life lived for others is a life of significance. And let me tell you a secret that's inside of significance. It is pregnant. It is impregnated with success in every aspect of your own life. This is why God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things Jesus talked about earlier, he says, don't go after the houses and the food and the clothing. Don't go after that. Go after the Father and his righteousness. And what will happen? All these things will be added to you. You don't even have to do it. It just comes. It's a byproduct of a life lived for others. The problem is we don't really believe it. That's the only problem. It's real. It exists. We don't believe it. That's why. I say that even though I'm not trying to be negative. Why am I saying that? Because we don't do it. If we believed it, we'd do it. Now, some people, every one of us are on different levels of, we believe that to different levels, and we're doing it, therefore, to that level. Jesus is saying, just throw it all away. Just go for it. Do it. Trust me. Lay down your life. Forget your life. And we think, well, how can I forget my life? What's going to happen to my life? Jesus says, trust me. Okay, will you trust me? I'm God. I made you. I made the universe. I have a real good inclination how everything works. Let go of your life. Let it go. And serve others. And see what happens. Just trust me. See what happens. It'll be a life of significance. And the greatest joy. I had the first picture a dark brownish color. The second picture was a yellow, orangish, you know, much brighter than the dark. But the third one of significance, that was, so the first one was failure, the next one was success, the next one was significance. It was sunshine, just bursting rays of sunshine, which was the idea I got from our graphic designer. And I was like, that's it. Joy, man, sunshine. It's far more than just a color. It's like life is in it, you know, it's just bursting with rays of sunshine. But what I put together didn't look so great. So I left it at home. But just imagine just sunshine bursting from you. That only comes not because you've sold more pizzas than anybody else, or more cars than anybody else, or built more homes than anybody else. None of that will do it. If any of you have reached any level of real significance or success, I should say, in your business, you know it. You know there's great elation for a few months, and it starts to wane. And you're like, wait, how do I pump this back up? I was all fired up for a couple months there. And you're just like, it's constant work. You know, I mean, you got to blow up your own life constantly to stay at that level of elation. It doesn't last. But when you say, I'm just not even going to live for me anymore. I'm going to live for other people. Even what you might find, you may think is really small scale, like how about your employees actually paying attention to their life and trying to help them in their life. Like taking that on, like, well, this isn't part of my job. I don't get paid for this. Forget that. That's worrying about yourself again. How about I'm just going to do it because Jesus says this is a good thing to do. And you just do it. Watch what happens. Pay doesn't go up. You know, maybe no recognition from work. But you go to bed with a big old grin on your face every night. You start getting filled up with joy. And what will happen is all the other stuff will start to happen. You'll start getting promoted, and you'll start having all kinds of great things happen in your life. But it won't be you doing it. It won't be you even trying. God says, when you go to work, do you work as unto me? And knowing, he says, knowing this, that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. God will take care of you and me. He will take care of us. Amen.